God be with you. Let us pray. Eternal God, in the reading of the scriptures, may your word be known. In the reflections of our hearts, may your word be heard. In the faithfulness of our lives, may your word be shown. Amen. This morning, the first reading comes from the Hebrew Bible, from the book of Ruth, the fourth chapter. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when they came together, she conceived and bore a son. Then the women said to her mother-in-law, Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without next of kin. May God's name be renowned in Israel. This child shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you is more to you than seven sons, and she has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom, and she became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the descendants of Perez. Perez became the father of Hezron, Hezron of Ram, Ram of Amminadab, Amminadab of Nashon, Nashon of Salmon, Salmon of Boaz, Boaz of Obed, Obed of Jesse, and Jesse of David. And the second reading from Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 11, the first epistle. For I received from the Lord what I handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." May God add a blessing to these words as we reflect upon them this morning. It is a privilege to be with you. And I invite us and I invite you in this moment to call to mind your ancestors. See mentally whether you can name the generation back of your grandparents or back of your great-grandparents. Think about the way your roots may trace to a town or a village, a land, or a country of your ancestors' origin. For many of us, besides maybe a fourth grade family tree assignment or a dusty family Bible, our roots can be somewhat tangled and distant. Here in the United States, this has been a country looking forward. We celebrate progress and innovation. We look toward the future. And those arriving here from other shores were encouraged to put the past behind them. And often, our ancestors wanted to put the past behind them. It was a past of religious or political persecution or economic struggle. This is one of the reasons, I think, that those of us in the United States often have a hard time reading certain parts of the Bible. We find the Bible's genealogical lists and family trees and preoccupation with ancestors somewhat hard to comprehend. Because as much as our biblical ancestors looked forward to God's hope and peace, to God's vision for all creation, biblical people also routinely looked back and remembered. That's why the Bible is laced with these genealogies, such as in the book of Ruth, with lists of descendants, with the matriarchs and patriarchs, Joseph and his brothers, or the 12 tribes of Israel. When Matthew begins his gospel, which we hear each Christmas, the part we don't read on Christmas Eve is a long genealogy that traces Jesus back to Boaz and Ruth, who we heard about this morning, and back all the way to the patriarch Abraham. The Bible traces people's place in the world the way that tribal people do, because the Bible is the story of indigenous people. But reading the Bible through this indigenous lens is not common to us in the United States, because for the most part, this nation is a nation of immigrants. But let's attempt this kind of reading this morning. I'm preaching to you today at the invitation of your pastors, Rich and Catherine, to bring you the perspective of a pastor and a Christian who is both United Church of Christ, back to the day of my birth, and Native American. When Native folks are with one another, we introduce ourselves by reference to our ancestors and to our ancestral homelands. And this is because explaining who we are simply as individuals, without explaining who we are in relationship to others or to the land, fails to explain who we are at all. So, Osio Nagata, Stephanie Perdue, Dagwadoa, Sid Salagi. Greetings, my friends. My name is Stephanie Perdue. I am Salagi, our word for Cherokee. I am the descendant of the cloud, tadpole, six killer, and black fox and great house families, the sixth generation since the removal from the Smoky Mountains, called the Trail of Tears or the Walk Where We Cried. My nation, the Cherokee Nation, is located in Oklahoma because of that walk and what we call the federal Indian removal of the 1830s. But our congregational ancestors, who were missionaries to the Cherokee in the southeastern United States, tried to prevent that removal. The missionary Samuel Worcester filed a Supreme Court case, Worcester versus Georgia, asking the federal government to honor the existing treaty rights with the Cherokee people and prevent the removal. He and the Cherokee Nation did not prevail, and Christianization of our nation had difficult consequences. But the story of the Congregationalists' interaction with Cherokee ancestors was also hopeful and benevolent. On my father's side, I am the descendant of the Perdues, Hammonds, Walbridges, and Moores, back to Congregationalist England, forward to the founding of the First Congregational Church of Norwich, Connecticut in 1620. I grew up on the prairie of Nebraska, which is Ponca and Pawnee homeland. I live in Evanston near the shore of Lake Michigan, which is Ojibwe, Ottawa, and Potawatomi homeland. Think with me for a moment about how you would introduce yourself in this manner. What are the names in your family tree? What are the places where you have lived or dwelt? Who are the ancestors who dwelled in those lands before you? To identify ourselves according to the web of relationships we emerge from is to know ourselves not as individuals, but as persons among a people with a history, with a past, as well as with hopes for a future. A people who are, in the words of the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament, inheritors and descendants of what the Bible calls the great cloud of witnesses. When we identify ourselves as ancestors or children or inheritors to the great cloud of witnesses, we identify ourselves as people grounded in a particular story, in particular traditions that preceded us, which we inherit and which shape and form us, and which we seek to pass on to the next generation. The Constitution of the United Church of Christ says that this is our task, that it is the task of the church in every generation to make the faith its own, in faithfulness of worship and fidelity to God. The Bible knows also that if we become unhinged from our history, we become a people adrift. We lose our stories. We lose our spiritual guides. We lose our spiritual guidance. We lose ritual and grounding and meaning. This is happening at an accelerating rate in a world in the Christian West, which is increasingly secular. So the Bible is constantly telling us, because this was a phenomenon in the ancient world as well, to remember. Even as the Bible is promising that God is capable of making all things new, Jesus is saying, do these things in remembrance. So when Paul teaches what he knows of Jesus' last meal, and remember, Paul was not among the apostles present, Paul says, I received what I handed on. I have inherited a story which I can now tell. Paul is telling us a story that he did not author or originate. He is telling us a story that he inherited. Then he tells us that Jesus took the bread and gave thanks over it and broke it and said, "Do this in remembrance of me." If we were reading Greek, we would see that the word anamnesin literally means not to forget. It's the negative prefix an, compounded with the word amnesia. So, not to forget. To remember is to consciously make it our business not to forget. But we live in a world that increasingly wants to forget. A world that promotes newness and leaving the past behind. And sometimes it is true that for our psychological or spiritual health, we need a fresh start. We need to let go of certain things. But remembering does not mean wallowing. Remembering is a responsible act that ties us to the past so that we can live toward the future. As Christians, we need not fear remembering, because we know ourselves to be a people of forgiveness, a people who are taught to confess, to repent, to repair relationships, and we live in the sheltering of God's undeserved but undeniable grace. It is shame that leads us to want to paper over the past. And it is God's grace that allows us to bring what is hidden into the light, as Jesus tells us to do. It is not just the final meal that Jesus does not want us to forget. It is also his cross. The rush ahead to the resurrection means that we forget or even deny the real suffering that Jesus endured, which was brought about by real politics and power, and which was celebrated and cheered by a real crowd. But Jesus will not let us forget. He will not let us forget the suffering or the poor or the persecuted. When did you see me hungry? When did you see me thirsty? When did you see me without clothing? When did you see me imprisoned? He asks us all of those things in Matthew chapter 25, giving us the only real clear criteria of moral judgment that the Bible teaches. I was invited here today to not let us forget that Native Americans and Native Christians are not part of America's past. We are still here. We are surviving. We are, in fact, in many ways, thriving, continuing to tell our stories and celebrate our cultures, attempting to preserve our languages, advocating for our treaties and lands and sovereignty. In 1979, it became legal in this country for Native Americans to gather publicly to celebrate our spiritual practices. Since that time, our spiritual practices have begun to flourish again. If you were to go to a Native church, such as the UCC church I now belong to in Wisconsin, or our UCC churches in Minneapolis, or South Dakota, or North Dakota, on the Standing Rock or Cheyenne River reservations, you would find Christian and Native spirituality alive and well. Part of the reason that our spirituality is able to be alive and well in the United Church of Christ is through our Council for American Indian Ministries, which is supported by your offerings to the United Church of Christ's Neighbors in Need annual offering. So if you participate in that, thank you. It helps us raise the next generation of faithful, whole, healing, and healed Native young people. Contemplate with me for a moment what it is that you are often inclined to forget. And what is it that you do not want to forget? What is it that is imperative that you share with your children or your grandchildren? What is it that you do not want them to forget? About yourself or your family, your story, this church, your ancestors. May we be a people who remember, who promise not to forget, who are quick to forgive and serious in repentance. May we be a people who remember who we are and whose we are, and give thanks to the Creator who gives us life and sustains us from generation to generation. May it be so for this church. Amen.